Paul's letters in the New Testament are what is known as occasional literature. Paul wrote them, or more likely dictated them, for specific reasons, to address specific problems that those churches were going through at the time. Unique among his letters, the Epistle to the Romans was written to a church that he did not found. All the other letters were written to churches or to individuals that Paul knew and to churches that he had founded, but not the letter to the Romans. It was a church he did not know, he had not been to, he did not found it. He knew some of its members and he knew some of the people who were related to that church, but he had never been there. And so he wrote the letter to introduce himself to the congregation. He wrote it to describe his way of thinking, his faith, his articulation of the gospel. And hence Romans, unique amongst Paul's letters, tries to address a broad range of themes with at least some degree of organization. And in this section, in the reading today, in this section of the letter of Paul to the Romans, he's giving us good general advice and encouragement. These are indeed some of the most uplifting and powerful things that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. But do any of us ever really hear, listen, internalize, believe, and live these words? Take, for example, his final remark. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The end of the passage actually may catch us by surprise, but it shouldn't if we've been paying attention. It's easy to repay evil for evil, but we're called to a higher calling. We're called to treat others as Christ treated others, not with anger or hatred, not with retribution for wrong, not with judgment and condemnation, but with love. Let love be genuine, Paul wrote. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. And some might stop right there and say, see, he said hate what is evil. Yes, he did. We're not supposed to love evil. Evil is understood as being harmful, destructive, unhealthy, and that which promotes harm, destruction, and unhealthiness. We're called to oppose it. It's part of our membership and baptismal vows. We commit ourselves to resisting evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. It's talking about rejecting and resisting evil, not people. People may do evil and stupid things, but we're called to realize that people are not fundamentally evil. That's why Jesus prayed to God for those who were crucifying him while they were crucifying him, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This is the ultimate expression of genuine love. This prayer from Jesus, offered to those and for those, to the God and Father that is our God, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Paul continued, love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. All of this is good and powerful advice. Advice that we should pay attention to, that we should listen to. We're called to extend that hospitality that has been extended to us, to strangers, to the unknown, to those who come in, to those who pass us by. We're called to be patient in suffering. That's hard, but still patient, and persevere in prayer, and rejoice in hope, and not getting tired or exhausted in zeal, but be ardent in spirit and serving God. Paul keeps going. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Now that ain't easy, is it? I don't want to bless those who curse me. I want to tell them off to their face. Right? Mm-hmm. Are you awake? Is that right?
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. Thank you. That's what we want to do. If we're honest, we don't want to bless them. But it doesn't do any good to curse them. It makes things worse. And we know that's true. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Some of us can be insufferable know-it-alls, to be very honest with you. I mean, that's true for me. No. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is all possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. That's superior advice, all of it. And much of it is hard to do. I love then the last line. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Well, I don't want to have to do with anything with all people. There's some people I don't want to be around. Sorry. No choice here. You're meddling, Paul. Why are you doing this to me? I don't want to have anything to do with them. No. Live peaceably. Peaceably. With all. Can I choose who's the all? No. Can it be this group here but not that group? No. Live peaceably with all. Well, maybe I can get out with this so far as it depends on you. That helps. But it means you have to be willing to live peaceably. He keeps meddling. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. I'm going to quit right now. Paul, this is too hard. Never avenge yourselves. But leave room for the wrath of God. Okay, God's going to smite him, right? For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Well, can't I be the instrument to do that? No. You can't. Well, I want to. Sorry. Not your job. Not in your job description. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Yeah! I love that part. Make them feel bad by treating them good. Yeah, there's some reverse psychology in here, Paul. You may have lived in the first century, but you got it down pat. You know how to manipulate. I'll take it. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All of this reflects the Wesleyan simple rules, the rules for the United Societies of Methodism. We've got lots of rules and regulations about what not to do, how not to act. It all boils down to doing no harm. Wesley understood that one can't just have an admonition to do no harm. There also has to be an encouragement to do good. So here's how Wesley put it in his own words. It is therefore expected of all who continue in Methodist societies and classes that they should continue to evidence their desire for salvation by doing good, by being in every kind merciful after their power, as they have opportunity doing good of every possible sort for as far as possible to all. Wowza. Remember that classic Wesleyan quote. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That's it. Doing good. That is how we're called to overcome evil. With good. Tangible good. Real good to others. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church, Christians everywhere, excelled in this? Doing good. And final, there's the last of the three simple rules. Staying close to God, staying in love with God. The actual Wesleyan frame is, attend upon all the ordinances of God, which is 18th century Wesleyan speak for partaking of the means of grace. The means of grace are those instruments, those things, those tools that help us to come into a closer relationship with God. It's the reading of Scripture. It's prayer. It's fellowshipping together. It's partaking of Holy Communion. It's serving others. And many other things. The means of grace are those ways which connect us to God and to each other, through which we receive God's love and God's favor. One of the most important means of grace is giving. We give of ourselves, of our time, our talents, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We give of our understanding, of our love, of our willingness to serve. We give so much, not just the dollars in our wallets, but our presence, our time, our gifts of abilities, our talents. We're called to be givers. And when we give, we receive the wonderful grace, the wonderful love of God. And this is what it means to stay in love with God, to stay close to God, to be engaged in the life of God, having genuine love for God and for others. This is the calling we have as Christians. If we don't engage in the means of grace, if we do not partake of the wonderful gifts of God's love for us, if we do not share those gifts with others, then we will find ourselves not doing any good, and indeed doing great harm to ourselves and to others. By partaking of the means of grace, by staying close to God, by staying in love with God, we are being nourished by the wonderful love, the grace and peace of God to do good, to do no harm. When you come to the table of the Lord today, when you come to the sacrament of Holy Communion, be open to the manifold ways in which Jesus wants to give you love, strength, presence, hope, joy. Be open to the ways in which God desires to feed you and to quench your thirst and nourish you for spiritual life. In the movie Agnes of God, Agnes was refusing to eat anything. And she confessed this to her mother superior. She didn't eat her lima beans. And the mother superior got angry and said, you have to eat your food, Agnes. And Agnes said, but the host, the sacrament, is enough. And the mother superior says that the host doesn't contain the daily recommended allowance of anything. And it wasn't even as good as this bread over here. That was like that styrofoam, horrible wafers. Agnes's reply was, but it is of God. Wow. Come and receive the daily, the eternal recommended allowance of God's grace. Be fed, be nourished, be watered on the grace and love of God. Stay close, be remembered to Christ, and live the life of genuine love that we are called to live, doing no harm and doing good and staying close to God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If those who are assisting could come forward at this time. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And when we give thanks over the cup, we know the life-giving love of Jesus Christ.